Gribbs, welcome in. How are you?
I'm good, bud. How are you?
I'm fantastic. Are you clean shaving these days, or are you rocking a beard?
No. Well, yeah, I'm clean shaving. I shaved about 3 months ago. I just got, you know, I got sick of it. I've had it for 30 some odd years, and I don't know why. I just decided to take it off when I started losing weight.
Now all of these guys are rocking beards.
Incidentally, if you're gonna play a fight song, before I come on, you better damn well play the Bruin fight song.
Well, you know, my producer's a new producer since you were on before, so he doesn't know your Bruins roots. He didn't know that you're a Bruins guy. So make a note of that. If Gribbs is coming on Friday, it's the UCLA. But you're lucky he didn't drop, USC fight song.
Oh, yeah.
You'd have just hung up. Yeah, you'd just hung up the phone on me then. Yeah, I mean, I saw last week I saw some of these guys. They actually had full beards and stuff like that. Guys that were golfers. I mean, Boo Weekly's got that thing coming on. You'd think at some point in time they'd realize, look, have a little decorum. I mean, you're a professional golfer, for God's sakes.
Oh, you're such a conservative, Abe. You're such a conservative. These guys have just had 3 months of vacation. They wanted to grow their beards. They wanted to see what it looked like. I'm waiting for one of them to try and break the rules and walk out in shorts.
Yeah, but they're not on vacation anymore. They're playing now.
I know, but give them a chance. Let them get back into it. They're still on the West Coast. And, you know, West Coast is still vacation time.
Yeah, well, that's a good point. What'd you think of Ricky hitting driver on 17, up two shots with two holes to go? I mean, are you kidding me? At the Waste Management on a 300-yard hole?
I just don't know what – I don't know what he was thinking. Nobody had reached it all day, and I'm not sure what Ricky was thinking. It was a huge mistake. But, again, he was up by two, so I think he felt he just wanted to just put the ball in the fairway. And Fowler's a pretty good driver of the golf ball. But, yes, was it a mistake? Yes. Should he have hit a 7-iron, a 5-iron? Yes. But the nature of golf right now.
Well, he hit a great shot. I mean, it was straight as an arrow. It just the hole couldn't hold a 350-yard drive. I mean, it was a down the middle shot. I mean, it made no sense. I thought his caddy should have gone old Romeo, like from Tin Cup, and start breaking clubs until he got to the 5-iron. So here, hit this. I mean, it would have been 5-iron wedge for him, right?
Absolutely, and that's what I just said. He should have hit 5-iron. He could have hit 7-iron, 8-iron.
Yeah. How do you feel about 16 there? I mean, you get 200,000 people this year. It's five times more people that come to any other golf tournament in the country. And then they got 15 or 16,000 of them there on 16. They're hooting and hollering, making all that noise. Some of the guys really don't like it. They're afraid to say it because then they get booed. But what do you think of that with the stadium setup? And what do you think of the guys like cheering during the shot or booing them if they, miss the green and stuff like that?
You know, it's fun.
I love it.
It's different. It's once a year. The thing that bothers me more, Tommy, to be honest, are when places, Colonial and other places, Colonial's tried to do caddy races on their par three.
Right.
It's more when other people are trying to do the second thing. And those never seem to work. And those are boring and those are stupid. It's a once a year thing. It's great. And I love it. Until it gets to be Saturday afternoon about 5 o'clock, and that's when it starts to get a little depressing because there's just way too much alcohol.
Yeah. Well, yeah, that part of it, I get, but I love the stadium atmosphere. I love the players that buy into the whole thing and, pumping up the crowd and like that. And the guys that got a stick in their butt about it, it's just, they're golfers, for God's sakes. I mean, enjoy the moment. I think that it's a really cool thing that you really can't duplicate anywhere else. And it's amazing because it's one of those things that you can draw a pretty straight line. Now, they always had a big crowd at 16 there, but 1997, when that kid Tiger Woods steps up there and throws one in the jar on two hops, that's when that was born, really.
Well, yeah. And listen, it's interesting you bring it up because, it's dichotomy to the beards. It is what it is. It's the left coast. It's the west coast having fun, trying to get people get going into the golf season. And as long as it's one time a year, I love it. People are trying to do it at the Ryder Cup, and it's because the Ryder Cup has become almost too political and too staunch. I wish they'd do it more for the Ryder Cup, just like at the Olympics. But at least it's 16 in Arizona. It's really fun, and everybody, for the most part, has a good time doing it. And the players that are standoffish about it, they need to go get a life.
Now you've been there. I've got a standing invitation from a radio station in Arizona to come out there and hang in their suite. You've been there. What does it do though to 15 and 17? I mean, is it real? Is it annoyingly loud for if you're playing the green at 15
loud.
Or 17?
Annoyingly loud. It's
so it bothers the whole back side probably.
Tommy, you've watched Tiger.
Yeah.
Okay. Now imagine being in front of Tiger or behind Tiger multiplied times. Or, in Tiger's best day, what would he have, 25,000 people following him around the fairway? Okay,
but
so multiply
here,
that times
cheering
eight.
The whole time, yeah.
And that's the noise that these people are throwing out there at the 15th green and at the 17th tee box. So, yeah, it's very difficult to deal with, but it's really, it's fun. And the guy's got to have fun doing it.
Yeah. All right, Stephen Gribben with us, PGA Tour Insider. The boys are at Pebble Beach and Etzel over there. Phil Mickelson on the Monterey Peninsula course and just absolutely crushing it. Had 29 on the front and then makes eagle on number 10. He did give one back at number 12. He's made a couple of pars since then. I don't know where he comes in, but this is really something. Explain a little bit, without being overly technical, about what Phil did to his swing, because he's been very, very good at age 45 right out of the chute this year, and everybody's talking about this some swing adjustment he made.
Right, a couple of things. Let's back up a little bit and talk about the fact that if you multiplied exponentially the number of people that don't like 16 to the number of people that would give anything to take the Crosby out of the rota and put it back in at the end of the year or something like that, that number would be 10 times the amount, because a lot of players just hate having to deal with the POA right before they head towards the East Coast. Mm-hmm. And it's why you still don't get the greatest fields there, because of the fact the players don't want to ruin their putting stroke right before they start, for all intents and purposes, the season. Now, having said that, what Phil has really done is compact the swing. He's taken control of it more, not as worried about hitting it quite as far, but really shortening and compacting the swing in such a way that he can control the golf ball. I think Phil realizes that with what he's been able to do with his putting stroke over the last 5 years, and the work he's done putting the ball, that he realizes if he can keep the ball in the fairway and keep the ball where he's got a shot at a decent approach shot, that Phil is going to be able to score at 46 years old, and he's going to enjoy the game a whole lot more than going into the woods as he's because he's trying to still hit it 330 yards. And that's really the biggest move that he's made, is really trying to understand. And that's as little complexity as I could put to it, just saying he shortened the swing.
I think one of the other, you talk about the POA, you're talking about something that's specific to the player. I think the other issue is, I mean, you can get rough weather there at this time of year, but it's absolutely gorgeous. I mean, the views, the vistas on TV, the way it looks in HD, it's just absolutely spectacular.
You get the most beautiful place in America. But let's get real, okay? I mean, we're in the middle of a political season. What you also get is the opportunity to play golf for 4 days or 3 days, really, with the people who have either supported you financially for a very long time, or you want them to support you, or they're the Hollywood insiders that you've always wanted to get a chance to meet. So there is a reason that the professionals go there above and beyond it being a good golf tournament. Now, I mean, I know I'm sounding pretty radical here, but there is a reason that they go there to hobnob with the chairman of the board of HP.
Yeah. But do they? I wonder how much they like it, though. I wonder how much they like, especially if you're playing with a Chris Berman, who's an 18, or you're playing with some of the others, or the sideshow that is always Bill Murray. And, those things are all great. And I think it's great for the game. But I wonder if some of the guys, you know, really have a hard time with it. Although they have
a
very...
I can tell you honestly, the bulk of them hate it, but they understand the concept of it, and they understand that this is like their all-star game. The players, you know, ask how many MLB players, you know, forget the MLB, ask how many NFL players like being picked for the Pro Bowl. Mm-hmm. This is the golfer's Pro Bowl. This is their chance to just, you know, they know they're giving up 4 days of their life. They're going to do it with their families because it's so beautiful, and they're going to do it in such a way that it's as fun as possible and just as best they can not worry about the score until it gets down to Saturday and Sunday.
I just can't believe how beautiful it is there. I mean, I love those whale shots. You know what I mean? I mean, water is so clear. Now, you lived out there for a long time. I've never lived in California. I've never been to California. How weird is that? I've been to Hawaii. I've been everywhere else. I have never even set foot. I never even flew over California. I have never, 55 years old, I've never set foot in California.
Okay, that is silly.
That's crazy.
This is the most beautiful place in America, and not just that. I mean, it's just there's so much to it and so many different places to go and so many things to see. And, you know, it's just a great place. And Pebble, I mean, there's just nothing like it. And, you know, and then again, you know, everybody talks about Pebble Beach. I'm the one, and most of us who are in the business get the fact that there's the two of the golf courses there are way, way better than Pebble. But the historical aspect of Pebble is what makes it so great.
Yeah, Cypress Point, from what I understand, is the one.
Oh,
that you
Cypress
really gotta...
is a different story completely. Yeah. You know, it is, in my opinion, after the opportunity to play Augusta, I think Cypress is the number one course in the United States of America. Yeah. Now, a lot of people like certain courses on the East Coast. I think Cypress Point is why God created golf.
See, you know me, Gribbs, though, the difference between you and I tend to stay, I pretty much stay in the red states. You know what I mean? I try not to stray.
You like the trees.
I like the trees, and I like the red states. So I kind of stay away from the Republic of California.
Well, you know, it's interesting. The cool part about it is there's a course there called Poppy Hills, which a lot of people don't like. I tend to like the golf course because half the golf course is inland, and you play in these incredibly tall trees that are, you know, 6 inches wide, but they're so tall you can't believe they're still standing. And then you come out, and all of a sudden you're on top of the ocean. And that's I love Poppy for that reason. It's not the best golf course there, not the worst golf course there, but a lot of the players themselves don't care for it. But to me, I love the scenery of Poppy Hills.
All right, let me ask you another question now, because you know my morning show, I'm on in Florida, down in Naples, Florida, and the Chubb is down there now, and We all know that the long putter has been outlawed now, and lo and behold, Bernard Langer is out there scoring out of his mind, making all of these putts, and he's got the broomstick. And I started getting ticked off, and I see what he's doing now. It turns out he's anchoring when he takes his practice swings, and then he pulls the putter away from his chest and putts. I don't think that was the spirit of that rule. I thought they were getting rid of the long putter.
No, it wasn't. And understand, Bernard did that 20 years ago. When he first started having the problems, that's how he used the putter 20 years ago. So he's not doing something that's new. He's doing something that he used to do. I agree with you again. It is not in the spirit of the rule, I don't think. But, you know, you're not going to go black and white.
I thought they had a length.
Remember, we all got to continue to remember the PGA Tour is owned by the PGA Tour, the players. And now the rule was made by the USGA. But the tour players can you know sideways the rule any way they choose to, the same way they did with the grooves.
All right, so what you're saying is the rule isn't about length of the club, the rule is about the anchoring of the club.
I lost you, Tommy. You there?
Yeah, I'm saying, so the rule is not about the length of the club. The rule is about the anchoring of the club. Is that correct?
That's correct. That is correct. You could have you could still have a putter that's 20 feet long.
No.
It's not like a driver. You could have a putter that's 20 feet long, but you cannot anchor it.
Yeah.
Now, the question then becomes, define anchoring to me. You know, if you're wrapping your arm around, I remember, come on, the guy from Georgia. Remember when he used to putt and he used to take the putter, put it in his right hand, and take his left hand and wrap the putter around his arm, and wrap his putter around the arm, and yeah. and then that's how he'd anchor it. He'd anchor it to his arm. You know, like you said, it's all in the will of what somebody thinks is real and not real.
Look, I use a standard length, a Acushnet bullseye putter, but if I get any fatter, it's kind of anchored anyway because it kind of hits me in the gut. You know what I mean? When I'm putting. So I don't know. I may be breaking a rule. I may be anchoring even though I don't really intend to anchor. It's just, you know, I got this gut hanging there and I'm hitting
yeah,
it.
Yeah, you know, listen, I went left-handed. Everybody does different. I spent 6 months on the machines trying to figure out whether I was better be going anchor or going long putter. And as you and I discussed, I just could never get myself to put a long putter in my hand. And it just turned out that putting left-handed seemed to work for me. And it's actually the last 3 months it's been enjoyable to play again.
Wow, it's good stuff. All right, Gribbs, I appreciate you as always. I look forward to keeping the conversation going. And we'll see if we got some new and exciting things coming up this season for golf. And it's always good to talk to you, man.
Yeah, it's really going to be fun. I think that the next couple months are going to really start to get good again. I think it's going to get very weird, Tom, and we're going to have to start discussing it probably in April. I think it's going to get very weird as we head towards the Olympics and what's going to end up happening with the whole thing and the Olympics. I think it's going to be ugly for golf before it's done.
Really? Everybody seems fired up about it, but that's another conversation. We'll have plenty of time to talk about that. All right, man, appreciate you.
All right, bud, we'll talk.